We are recording.
Yes.
Okay. It is March 20th and 17 past 6. I call the monthly meeting of the National Airport Authority Board to order. Chris, roll call, please.
Hey, Chairman Woods.
Here.
Vice Chairman Law is absent this evening. Director Duquette.
Here.
Treasurer Heath.
Yes.
Secretary Holland. And I just lost the connection. You gotta be kidding me. Stand by.
Remote.
It's all gonna happen tonight, isn't it, Chris? Everything will be.
All right, Jesse, with us?
Hey, so sorry about that. Someone literally called me at the exact same time that I was just about to say that I was here. So I'm here.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we have a quorum.
Okay. So, public input as it pertains to this month's agenda. Okay, I will soon let you know. This brings us to minutes approval of the NAA public hearing of February 21, 2024.
I make a motion to accept the minutes as reported.
Second. Okay, discussion. Okay, Chris, would you call the roll, please?
Okay, Chairman Woods?
Yes.
Treasurer Heath?
Yes.
Director Duquette?
Yes.
Secretary Holland?
Yes.
Okay, motion is taken. Treasurer's report, approval of the February 2024 financial statements subject to audit.
Okay, as has been practiced lately, I prepared the summary report. I do have extra hard copies if anybody needs them. We basically state the current position. But things of note this month, in the month of February, which we're reporting on, we did receive a one-time grant. It's from the airport something plan that is basically a COVID kind of grant, a one-time grant. The amount we received was $59,000. That's a one-time unbudgeted amount. So for the month, we then had a surplus of $36,000, and it lowered the year-to-date deficit down to 12.3. The only thing other note coming up in March is that we did receive, I believe, today or yesterday, by around $33,000 from the Department of Transportation, the Bureau of Aeronautics registration, our portion of the registration fees. So that'll be reported in the March financials. So just simply going down the list, this is building we're in now, the former Southern New Hampshire University building, still is taking a bit of a drain on us. On the second page of this thing, checking out today. We have determined that the impact of not getting the lease payment anymore to year to date was $44,000. And then we're carrying a lot of the expenses, electricity, heating, water, and sewer, some building maintenance, and some IT and telephone. And so basically, the impact of these operations is about $65,000. So if all things were equal, without that kind of hit, so to speak, the 12.3 current year-to-date deficit would have been about a $50,000 positive number. And of that, 59 of it would have been the one-time grant. So operationally, we're holding our own. If you strip out those two things, you have the anomalies. Things are going along according to plan. We can continue to remain healthy, from a liquidity and balance sheet perspective. Our operational liquidity is upwards of $591,000. We're in good shape financially still. And so nothing else that happened in February that of note that's outside the scope of normal operations. Does anybody have any questions on it? Anybody? Okay. So, with that, we'll entertain a motion.
Support the motion to approve the February 2023 financials, subject to audit.
Okay, one second. Okay, any further discussion? And Chris, would you call the roll, please?
Hey, Chairman Woods?
Yes.
Excuse me. Treasurer Heath?
Yes.
Secretary Holland?
Yes.
Director Duquette?
Yes.
Motion to carry.
And just another note, financial note, anybody who wants to have some sleep aid, there's the audit is available from last year to read through. It's finalized this year, the last couple of weeks, we met with the auditors and got that all wrapped up.
Okay. Can you send out a copy to the board once that's finalized?
What, the annual report?
The annual report.
Yes, I believe that's available. Susan might have a PDF version of it.
Okay, yeah, or Susan can send it. Definitely want to review.
Okay.
Thank you.
We will make that happen.
Much appreciated.
Sure. Thanks for your interest.
Well, you know,
she's just looking asleep.
Okay, communications. On February 16, we received a letter from Borfield Condominium 3, request option to extend lease and grant option for an additional 20-year term. We'll take that up under new business. And let's see, that brings us to reports. Our report. We got it here. Okay, for February 2024, operations look like this, 5531. That's 1,473 more than in January, or 36%, which is a nice boost. And year to year, up 1,377 or 33%. And, you know, year to date, you know, it's like up 17%.
So, I know we've talked about this before. So the report suggests that we're up 17% year to date. I know this is calendar, and our financials are fiscal. But the fuel flow tends to be still a little bit behind the curve. I know that we've discussed this before. It can be a month to month kind of thing, but I've got to believe the trend might.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll catch up.
You got to look at it in a quarterly fashion. And look at it, you know, just because the numbers you guys have for fuel flows are the bulk.
Yes, the fuel in the tank. Yeah.
And the other thing to keep in mind about fuel is that one of the ironies of the fuel, irony is not the right word. The more time that goes on, the more all these things become more fuel efficient. And it strains the sound. Doesn't really.
And it's interesting.
You can actually have more operations, but you're not getting a lot of bump in. So it's not necessarily. Plus, if the flight training is up, that doesn't affect it. You have to do.
Oh, yeah, that's a lot of stuff.
You could have a 1,000 touch and goes at it, and you won't see them.
Okay. That's a good point, Rick. Thanks. Yeah, it's like kind of like what the states are dealing with electric cars. They're not getting the gas tax anymore.
Right.
You know, you get more efficiency, but that's a good thing. But then, not getting the fuel. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, that brings us to airport monitoring.
Okay. recent events, none. Upcoming events, as we've already talked about, the airport's annual Wheels and Wings event will be held on Saturday, September 21st. If people want to start thinking about displaying their airplanes, I know a lot of Farrell and West and friends in the aerobatic community have joined us in the past. It'd be nice to see that again. We have another event, Hampshire Aviation Museum Barbecue and Fly-In. They have their annual event here at 81 Perimeter Road on Saturday, June 15th, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's a paid event. You can buy tickets online at the New Hampshire Aviation Museum website. I don't think the tickets are available yet, but they will be. Other items of interest, a little more interesting than the financial report, but not much. I submitted the Nashua Airport Authority Capital Improvement Plan to the City of Nashua's Capital Improvement Committee on the 23rd of February. Farrell Woods and I subsequently met on March 4th. We met with the CIP, with the CIC committee, and discussed our needs for the upcoming 5 years. So that I think went well. Also attended the City of Nashua Committee on Infrastructure meeting regarding the Deerwood Drive property, lot H103, where, as people may be aware, there's an individual that owns a piece of land kind of out in the woods off of Deerwood behind the airport in the middle of nowhere.
Which is up off of the end of 3-2.
Yeah, Deerwood's it runs across the field, basically, right, across the Mauser, all the way from Pine Hill, actually, to Amherst Street.
Right.
So, This has been dragging on for a couple of years now. They've been going to hearings, et cetera, and they're not getting a lot of support from the Alderman or the airport. Obviously, we oppose this residential development abutting the airport, and I've voiced our position numerous times now. They're still working with those people trying to come up with a resolution. They're actually looking into possibly the Conservation Committee purchasing the land, seeing that they own all the surrounding land around that piece out there. So, give you more details as they become available. That's really all I can tell you right now. Excuse me. On March 8th, I met with Jacqueline Marks from Gale Associates, and we hosted our 2024 Disadvantaged Business Enterprise Goal Meeting, just a check-the-box item that we took care of. And just today, we had a meeting, and Nick will talk a little bit more about this in his report. We had the pre-bid conference meeting for the crack sealing and runway safety area repair project. And again, I'll leave that for Nick to speak about. Anybody have any questions? Keeping it brief.
Chris, I have a follow-up for you.
Go ahead.
So regarding the Deerwood Drive lot, the first question, is that part of the watershed over there, and is that potentially something that might sabotage the city's desire, some private entity's desire to build there? And then I guess the second question I have is that in the runway protection zone at all? Would that be one form of justification for trying to prevent any building on that area?
So to answer both your questions, no, it is not in the RPZ, and it is actually high and dry where it is not in the watershed protection area.
It's a buildable lot.
We're actually going to discuss this in non-public this evening, too, just because it's a real estate-related issue.
Understood.
But thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Kristen? Okay, that brings us to the engineer's report. Right. Good evening, everyone. Jordan is administering six projects on behalf of the authority, the first being the Rehabilitate Taxiway Alpha and Associated Taxiway Construct Only Grant. The grant fund project is in place. Jay was preparing for the pre-construction conference leading into a May start of construction. At this time, a final start date has not been established, but upon coordination with the contractor, we'll get the notice to proceed over to them. A change order will need to be processed. I actually learned from FAA not need to process a change order to remove the Delta, Taxiway Delta widening work. We'll just have a reduction in the contract quantities for that. Although we do have to submit the change order to change from direct ferry cable over to directionally bored FDR 11 PVC pipe. We have been coordinating with the FAA on that. We went back and forth with the contractor, got them to agree to install any of the materials that are on the that meet FAA requirements, and we're moving forward in that direction. So you'll have an in-conduit lighting system. We'll seal it up as best we can, but All of the Calculate edge lights, per the original design, were shade mounted. And in order to truly seal that system, you'd want to add bases at each light, and the cost of doing that would exceed the available funding. So we'll just seal up those ducts at each shade mounted light, and I think it'll keep most of the soils out. If they need to fill with water and then a little bit of sediment from that, but it should hopefully create a situation where if you do have to go back and replace a section of cable between your lights, you can still use those conduits. Reimbursement request number one for the project has been, that has not been filed. I typed this up a week ago, anticipating we have this done. That reimbursement is still on my desk, but it is ready to go out for signatures, and I will do that before the end of the trip. So recommended action, none at this time. Any questions on Taxiway Alpha?
So back on the wiring thing, so in the scope that when we designed this thing, we didn't include that?
We were told by the FAA that there was not funding available to do an in-conduit lighting system.
So we're going to be stuck with having to fix this stuff all the time?
No.
No, the change is a no-cost change. The contractor was originally going to get paid for trenching the trench for the cables and then insulation of the cables. The per-foot cost of the trench is approximately the same as the per-foot cost for the conduit, so...
But instead of having a sealed system that the port is funding for, we're going to have a system with a bunch of goop on it to hopefully keep the water out.
Yes.
As opposed to what it was originally just a direct bury system, right?
So
this is still an improvement?
It's a free improvement.
You're back to having basically a direct bury system. You have to dig a whole trench to the blade venue. But for the purposes of this project, it will protect the cables better than being direct buried for the long run, and it will make it hopefully easier to maintain.
We had several meetings dealing with this, Dave, and it's definitely a home run compared to a direct buried cable.
No, I'm not suggesting that it's better than what we started with. I guess the answer is that it was a funding issue.
And we actually looked into getting the cans when we realized that the contractor would be willing to put it in conduit in lieu of burying it, direct bury. We priced out the cans, and I think it was north of $250,000 just to have the cans. We have 150-something cans. So the idea that, Nick and I talked about is when they come up to the stake mounts, we'll sweep them up and we'll just seal them. Stuff's going to get in there. Stuff gets in the cans.
If it was done the way it was supposed to, or there should have been, with it. Forget about funding limits.
There would have been cans everywhere.
Okay, but you wouldn't be chasing water through them.
Well, the system, it's impossible to get a watertight system. Okay. You're going to get water in there eventually.
You're going to have water in any of these systems. What we've learned from the field, even when we have ducting digged up, we have manholes out here that are electrical, that are completely full of water.
Yeah.
Okay. That are sealed up, ducted. And we are sitting on the water table here.
Okay.
So, but all in all, the resistance to the abrasion being in the conduit is far superior.
I'm sure that it's better than we were planning on. So
and obviously, we were trying to get the cans installed.
Okay.
Yeah, unfortunately, at the time, the project was scoped and the requirements of the FAA, it just wasn't eligible for funding.
We're kind of getting a piece of that for free. We're kind of getting a piece of that for free as a bonus.
Right. Okay.
No extra cost.
Right.
Question for Nick?
Yeah.
Can you add cans later? If funding is available next year, for instance?
That's a good question. There are eligibility issues with doing something like that. I think on lighting equipment, the period of or the design life expectancy is 10 years.
Mechanically, it wouldn't be a problem, though. It's an administrative problem. Right. I'm confident the system is functioning for the design price, but...
No, he's saying mechanically not a problem to add the cans.
Correct.
Yeah, anything can be done. It's just a function.
You have to dig up each, the area around each lane.
Oh, okay.
Get the isolation transformer, put it in the can, run the conduit in, and then do it.
But, and then just one more, I just want to make sure. So you say the taxiway alpha project is going to May start date?
The contractor has alluded to a May start date.
Alluded.
They haven't given up a finite date at this point. Any other questions?
One more.
Yes.
You're deleting something to do with taxiway alpha?
So, as you'll see, if you taxi on Delta, the right side, the apron pavement is a lot further away than the left side. The reason being, there was an immediate need for that right side to be addressed because of the windrow snow and the wind chip clearance. The right side was the more, I guess, obstructing problem. So we addressed that as we did golf ramp because it's adjacent to it. The other side is still included in taxiway alpha, so we'll address the other side as part of this project. But the amount in golf ramp that was added by Chamber was about $23,000, so we're going to reduce or just not pay for that quantity of work. And it may not be $23,000 since it's a separate bid, separate unit prices, but it will be somewhere in that ballpark.
Thank you. So you're deleting something that's already done, essentially.
Yes, yeah. We've done in golf ramps, so now we have to do this now. The second project is the rehabilitated golf ramp and Foxtrot ramp. All contract work is now complete. I don't have an update this month. The supplemental agreement, NHDOT has mentioned that they need some sort of justification that the supplemental agreement is needed, and that the federal government is not paying for anything twice. My response was, well, it's six items that aren't in the original scope of work and are all necessary to complete this grant closeout. What else would you accept for documentation? And they told me basically a letter explaining that. I wrote it, sent it to NHDOT. Third week in February, and we just haven't heard back yet. I called her a few times and still no response, so we're on hold. That's the last thing needed prior to closing out that grant. So I should mention that if not approved, Gail is not under contract to close out that grant. So whether or not it's the National Airport Authority that files the paperwork or Gail does, we have to figure something out.
All right. I get real nervous when two things happen. First of all, this is like the third meeting. This is the same story that you had to testify. And the second thing is, hopefully it'll be approved, and then we're going to be on the hook somehow for $2.5 million.
No. The supplemental agreement was for approximately $15,000.
Oh, all right. Okay.
And that included scope items like filing additional reimbursement requests related to the portion that was funded with VFL.
Okay.
When we originally scoped the project, we assumed it would be $1,000 under AIC, but then it was split into two, and we had some background work there. We had to file additional reimbursement requests, additional closeout reports, things like that.
Okay. I guess the third thing that makes me nervous, too, is I keep hearing the same thing about the Department of Bureau of Veterinary Testing got back to the after many attempts. That's the same old story. Okay, thank you.
The third project is the AWOS relocation. We have received the 60% review comments. We conducted a design review meeting with the FAA yesterday on the 19th at 10 a.m. We got clarification on all of the questions that we had proposed. We submitted some revised documents to the FAA for their concurrence, and we're moving on to the 90% design and bid set submissions. We should have the project out to bid before the meeting. So recommended action is again not at this time. Any questions on the AWOS project?
Okay, so I'm sorry, I was typing. So we had a meeting like yesterday.
To go over the 50% design and planning.
So that's moving along.
That went very well. We were moving on to 90% design, and there's only about a week's worth of work to bring it from 50 to 90%. And then one final check with FAA and DOT, and we should be ready to put the project up to bid.
So that should happen between now and our April meeting.
Certainly, hope so. Yeah. The fourth project is the land acquisition. This month I have the correct grant amount in there. But again, no update on the grant application has been submitted. We're just waiting for grant issuance. So no recommended actions this month related to the property acquisition. The fifth project is the tower siting study. We have seen some traction on that. FAA reached out to Chris to initiate that study. They requested some CAD files he sent over, which we have sent. And the contact person at the FAA indicated that they're anticipating an initial site visit sometime in July. So we are standing by to provide whatever technical support they need as they initiate that study. And again, no recommended action needed from the authority at this time. Any questions on the tower study?
Nick, I'm sorry, I'm just running a few seconds behind the curve here. So just real quick, I'm back to that. That's the land acquisition, that's the tree project down here.
Correct.
Right. And so in that involved, so basically everything has been sent to the DOT as of January 11th. So we don't need to do anything else except wait for them again. Okay. So, and has there been any communication that sort of, you know, when they will have it to us? We're out of pocket.
No, there has not been. I don't know. Been submitted. It does take the FAA a little while to process the grant, and it really is a block grant.
Is it a 2023 grant?
2024.
Okay, so yeah. New Hampshire DOT has not even applied to the 2024
Correct.
Block grant at this point. So,
so we're looking at somewhere like what? 6 months? 3 months?
The block grant we usually issue relatively early, or say in the June or July time frame.
This is for the money we spent last fall.
That is correct.
And there's no indication that this will not be covered by this grant.
We had it all pre-approved before we even did the project.
I thought so.
So it's just timing on the grant, and this is pretty much SOP at this point.
Yeah, okay.
And the sixth and final project is the runway centerline crack sealing RFA repair. The project is currently out for bid. We conducted the pre-bid conference, which was attended by two contractors today. The bid opening is scheduled for Friday, April 5th, with grant applications to follow. That's really the only update I have on the crack sealing RFA repairs project, and there are no recommended actions at this time.
So if all goes well, we open the bid on 5th, and we say, okay, we want this contractor. Then we have to go for money. So what I'm hearing is that this thing is not going to be done this year.
The BIL funds have already been appropriated and are available to the airport.
So this is BIL?
Yes.
Okay.
And so that grant should be issued relatively soon as compared to, you know, an AIP grant, but again, still no guarantees.
Okay.
And it was a discussion point as we closed out the meeting. I said one other thing. I just want to make clear that if we get into the warmer summer weather, the sponsor is likely going to delay this project until the winter of 2024-25.
The spring.
That way we can address the crack when it's at its widest and also get the markings down because there are temperature requirements for the markings.
So, and My understanding is, I mean, I haven't walked out on the runway to see it, but I mean, we're not going to have any nose wheels going inside this, you know, going in the track, but it's not that big.
The track is at its widest point, I think you said
three quarters. Yep.
Okay. All right. So it's not, the problem is that ceiling adheres to the sidewall.
No, no, I understand. I understand the reason, but I just want to make sure there's no, you know, urgency, if you will. I mean, that was that. You know, there's going to be damage to aircraft if we don't do it correctly.
No, I don't get it. I'll say the golf ramps cracked were a heck of a lot wider.
Right.
And Jeff Parker, hopefully, on the issue, so you might be able
to
take that. No, the runway centerline crack is at the point where we know we want to address it, but it's not an imminent safety concern. Any questions on the engineer's update? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Nick.
Okay, that brings us to committees. We have no committees outstanding. Next up is old business, Infinity Aviation Hangar Development. Greg?
Yeah, I'll be quick so we can keep rolling here. We're working with NI Aviation as well as Gale. We have a scheduled to get the water and sewer study done this month, well, this month being April, with the final study in May, is that what beginning of May. So I think we're going to be in real good shape as far as the water and sewer, which is a big part of this, you know, getting the approvals and the final development done in the month of April. So I think by the beginning of May, we're going to be in good shape with all that in the city and plugging along.
The plot plan, everything, the new tax map.
It's all part of the same, you know, process.
You're looking at May sometime?
That's my thing.
Yep. Yeah, I think we've met a couple times in the last couple days.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it feels good. If not April, I mean, we may actually have, for the next meeting, we may have the lot lines figured out, but the rest of the stuff will be made in water, sewer,
and the surveyors, for a lot of the survey work, they can't do it in the winter time, so that's why this is happening.
Yeah, the lines were had to get pushed off until April.
When the surveyors are on, they're in the queue, so to speak.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we have the hard date. The beginning of the 8th is the first date.
So April 8th.
Yep.
Okay, awesome. Thank you.
Okay. And
non-aviation
hangar development.
It's not here too. Okay. But they're moving along.
We're working on the water sewer together.
Okay,
so,
fair enough. Okay, so that brings us to new business, Warfield Condominium 3 lease extension. So, Joe, you want to...
Say
your name for the record, please.
Joe Carter.
Yes.
Well, I think the letter was submitted pretty much covers anything I could say about it. Should we?
And Joe, you can.
Yeah, so just read it from the paper, I guess. We'll put forward a motion to approve the request to grant an option for additional 20-year term lease extension for what is the official, for the Warfield Condominium 3 Association for a period of 20 additional years commencing on July 1st, 2044, terminating on June 30th, 2064, subject to the negotiation of terms and conditions for the original lease.
What the lot numbers?
The lot numbers for the recording of the record are E1457, 105 Premier Road, as recorded in the Hillsborough County Register of Deeds, book 7337, page 2031, October 14th, 2004.
I'll make a motion for a second.
Move a second.
I might for a second.
Okay, discussion. Okay, can we get a roll call
please, on Joe's motion.
Chairman Woods?
Yes.
Treasurer Heath?
Yes.
Director Duquette?
Yes.
Secretary Holland?
Yes.
Okay, it's unanimous.
Okay, the motion carries. Chris has already covered upcoming events. One short question. Are those events on the airport website?
I believe so, yes. I asked Susan to put them up on there.
Okay, thank you.
Tom from Dave Wilkie.
From who?
Wilkie.
Now we're busy.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so public input as we come to the close of the meeting today. Okay. Yes.
Just a quick question for the engineer. The crack sealant that's going to take place on the runway, is that going to cause a shutdown?
10 days. It'll be during the day, Monday through Friday, from 7 to 5 p.m. for 10 days.
We can't let Steve walk in.
We can't do it at night.
I can leave the crack, and you can let your plane go in the crack eventually, or we can fix it. So.
Okay, that was my question.
Now, we're minimizing the shutdown to daytime only.
Yeah.
And like Wes pointed out, you'll still have 3 hours of daylight every day as well at that time.
The crack itself is only going to take a day, day and a half, but we're also performing rubber removal on the entire runway and remarking everything.
And fixing the RSA.
That's all we've intended. There will be a 3 day period with full day and night grading. And that is because we'll have a non compliant safety area. So.
We want to have a good lead time for the notification so we know when it's going to happen.
Absolutely.
So we plan accordingly.
Yep.
We'll let everyone in. Wes, did you have a question?
Actually, I had a kind of a comment. In upcoming event, one thing that I think has been done in the past is inviting all the local politicians out to have a cookout or something here. I was going to suggest that since 2024 is an election year, and I think it's a full disclosure, I'm a little plugged into that, that it's in the airport's political benefit to invite all the gubernatorial candidates, all the candidates for aldermen, whatever, in the state of in the city of Nashua, out to learn about the airport, give them a tour so they understand the value that this facility puts in the local economy. You know, they can maybe learn a little bit about you know what Greg's doing to expand his business and the lives in their force and the positives in that. So I would encourage the airport to do something like that.
Good idea.
Good idea.
And by the way, my daughter-in-law is running for governor, so please vote for it.
I knew that was coming. That's really why you're here, isn't it?
Any more public input this evening? Okay, that brings us to director's comments. I'll start the show.
Nothing this month. Continue good job, everybody.
David?
I'm just happy to hear that the Brass Tie-Down Area project is moving along, and it actually now seems to be in a short window. Everybody's happy about it, too. And good to hear everybody here tonight. It's a good turnout. Thank you for coming.
And Jessica?
I want to wish everybody a happy vernal equinox, happy spring. I came a little early this year. And just want to also thank everybody, both on the NAA board, as well as Chris and our great team, Gail Associates, everybody that's just leaning in super hard to make sure that we continue making forward progress on all these projects. And hangar development and everything else. So great work, everybody. Really encouraging. Great airport to be at, for sure. Thank you.
Hey, thank you. And I'd like to say, thank you to David, to Chris, to Susan for the work on the audit.
So much fun.
Well,
it's good.
Yeah, the audit's clean. It's good. It's been good for a while.
Yep.
So, you know, we're happy about that. Gail, thank you for managing all the projects. I mean, we've had a half a dozen on the agenda for a little while now, so it's a lot to juggle. So, appreciate that. So, with that, I will entertain a motion to adjourn to non-public session pursuant to RSA 91A-3-2B, consideration for the acquisition, sale, or use of real or personal property, and pursuant to 91A-3-2A, the dismissal, promotion, or compensation of any public employee.
Second that. I think we need the first, right?
Sure.
So motion.
How you made the motion. Okay. roll call, please.
Okay. Chairman Woods?
Yes.
Secretary Holland?
Yes.
Director Duquette?
Yes.
Treasurer Heath?
Yes. Okay. We are adjourned.